Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
I believe they could ever be blessed by me. I'm overwhelmed by Kim's response to someone in need in a hospital praying so fervently for me this morning. Sister Venable, that's overwhelming. That's absolutely overwhelming. That's the Spirit of God in each other, blessing each other. And what a joy it is when it happens. Now, this is a very humble setting this morning. We don't have a service tonight, so people can actually spend time with family or friends and gather together if you're going to be gathered together. But we're so glad that you're here today. We believe that our future is bright because God is in it. And we believe that what's happening here is very significant. God still has us together as a people and a spiritual family, and good is still being done. It's not, and adding people to us won't change what's happening in you. Can you say amen? If something is happening in you, praise God. And so what we're doing here has great significance. Some of the greatest miracles that are taking place in South Vietnam are in settings just like this morning. More of a home prayer meeting setting than a huge crusade setting. More miracles are taking place in those home where there is no designate God's man or woman of power, where the saints gather together, fulfilling the scripture, where two or more gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And according to Dr. Wong from Hong Kong on Moody Radio, this is not the Pentecostal voice, if you please. Moody isn't. Very conservative. We would differ in some of the grace issues and how it's projected. But on the other hand, there's some sound doctrine there and a recognition of the power of the Holy Spirit, because according to this particular missions director, the miracles of the book of Acts are being absolutely reenacted in the 21st century in South Vietnam. Because on Sunday morning, people meet just like we're meeting here in groups of 25 to 50. And it makes up a huge church. There is no big central church like there is in Korea. There's a church there with, hundreds of thousands of people that attend in a week. About 100,000 probably. Their meeting is like our meeting. But the amazing thing is the grand miracles are taking place in that intimate, personal setting where people are there for no other reason except they love Jesus and they want to be together and worship his name and praise him. So we can expect the same. We can expect God to move and manifest himself, not because we're small, but because we're not dependent on anything other than Christ and his anointing in these services. There's nothing going to carry this meeting but Jesus. No great choir. We got good singers and we appreciate you. But it's not some huge choir in great robes. I saw some choir robes. I thought, man, I could preach in one of them. If the choir ever got robes like that, I could preach. And we may have choir robes someday. There's nothing wrong with choir robes as long as you're able to pull them up and dance when the time comes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just don't get starchy when you get in your $500. I looked at the price of when it was $500. I thought, my goodness, for a mere $4,000 or $5,000, we could dress our choir up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, moving right along. We could do that. But I could visualize our choir in those robes. Amen. I had a little trouble visualizing myself preaching investments, but, stuff might get tangled up before the service was over. But God has been good, and we appreciate him so very much. I heard that. Hallelujah. Bless your heart, Sean. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It is Father's Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about not the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, but the personal relationship we can have with our God, a father-child relationship with him. And how that affects all of our life, our prayer life, our personal life, our spiritual life. Amen. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your earthly father. I have a good relationship with my dad. I did not have the perfect father. However, I am not the perfect father. I will say this. Last night, just before I left work, it was about 10 o'clock, and I was taking out some of the refuse to throw away and some bottles to be ground up. And as I was on my way, I passed a man on a forklift. He's a big guy. He's pushing 300 pounds, I guess. And he's a big guy. He's a young guy. He's very big. And the job that he's doing requires a lot of speed and stamina. It doesn't require just strength, but speed and stamina. I heard someone say to him in charge the other day, if you don't build your speed, they're going to kick you out of here, throw you out of here. In other words, get rid of you, fire you. Well, ever since I heard someone say that to him, I've tried to be super nice and kind to him. I just want to, you know, I'd say something good about him. I told him, I said, man, what you need to do is come in here. You look like a blow mold man to me. You look like a guy that could come in here and do this job and do it well. And he was doing something the other day, and I complimented his bicep. You know, that always makes a guy feel good if you talk about his bicep. I mean, you know, that, and, you know, anyway. But I just tried to show kindness to him because I know that no one else was saying a kind word to him. And he's a super nice guy, respectful, nice guy. But he come riding by, and he stopped his forklift, and he backed up, and he said, Rev, do you have kids? And I said, yeah. I said, not only have I got kids, I've got grandkids and great-grandkids, one on the runway and one in the hangar. And you say, hey, man, that's it. I got them, though. That means that my granddaughter is pregnant with child, and so I'll have a second grandchild. And so I said, not only have I kids, I've got grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And he said, well, I just wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. And I knew right then that just being kind to him and complimenting him meant so very much to him. And I just did it because that's what I do. I've been an underdog preacher for most of my life. I mean, you know, the world out there has never looked upon our ministry with great respect. People have been blessed by it because the anointing, nothing else. But I knew it had made an impact, and I knew that it had touched him, and I felt that dad feeling. And I know that he felt it. Now, I don't know what kind of dad he has, but I know one thing. We all need our father's affirmation. Whether you got it or whether you didn't get it, you need it. You need it. I remember at Sean's wedding, when it came to the ring ceremony, and I presented the ring to him to place upon his new bride's finger. And I said, thus you will receive her into your care and your keeping. Thus you are to compass her life with strength and protecting love. And if there's one thing that God wanted both Old and New Testament to do in behalf of his people is compass our life with strength and protected love. And that is the primary role of father, to compass the life of his children with strength and protecting. Everybody say protecting. Protecting love. Now, I don't quote Freud very much, and I can't even quote him today because I forget the exact words, but it's to this extent about the psyche of man. The first trust, the first feeling of everything being well within a child comes from a sense of the protecting love of his father. There's the maternal love that cherishes, but there's something about the strength involved in the father's love that gives that sense that no matter what the calamity, we know there are things we can't do. A man could come in with a gun, and I could stand and hold my children to myself, and bullets go through dads. How many know bullets can pass through dads? Amen. I was always amazed at the old black and white Superman series on television, that a guy would empty his gun into Superman, and they would bounce off of him. Then when he had no more bullets, he would throw it at Superman, and Superman, when he threw the weapon, would always duck. Things that make you say, bullets can't penetrate him, but if he ducks when he throws the gun at him. We know there's no Superman in that sense. But to a child, there's no one more powerful and strong than the father, if they have a good father, and if love comes through that. So I want to talk about sanctification and holiness just for a few minutes in light of positioning us so that God can actually father us. Amen? And this scripture may not sound like a Father's Day scripture, but it will when we get to the end of it. Everybody say, Sanctification. Everybody say holiness. It's two words you don't hear much in the Christian faith anymore. You know, you just don't hear about holiness. And yet we are told that we are to be ye holy, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. And holiness and sanctification are interacting, interlocking words. They're almost alike because they mean such similar things. Sanctification in particular means that we are cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. And the holy purpose, when we first hear it, is we think of our ministry. We're meet for the master's use, as one scripture puts it. But way before God uses us as a ministry, amen, he wants to fellowship us as his children. He wants us to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. I believe the greatest ministries are not just ministries that are just highly anointed, where the anointing is the only thing that marks the minister. I really believe the greatest ministries are ministers who have a real, intimate, personal relationship with God. A.W. Tozer wrote a book, amen, that was highly anointed. And the name of the book is a mighty name. It says, In the Pursuit of God. Can you say amen? People that pursue him from the heart, that know that God wants this intimacy, and it draws them into the pursuit of God. We seek him. And we seek him wholeheartedly and we find him. Can you say amen? And when we find him, we find more than power in our life. We find a person who encircles our life with strength and protecting love. Everybody say strength and protecting love. Faith worketh by love, the scripture said. Amen? Faith really should be something that comes forth out of an intimate personal relationship with God instead of just a generic kind of aesthetic belief of the Word. So many people are so proud that they're standing on the Word. Amen. Standing on the Word is not the same as trusting in God. Amen. Trusting in God will allow you to stand on the Word. But standing on the Word without trusting in God is void of the intimacy. And when the real trials come that shake you, you need to fall back on that intimacy. That's where Paul's faith stood unshakable when things happened. And I know the devil screamed in his ear, where is your God? Why has he allowed this to happen to you? And Paul stood up in the face of that devil and said, there is nothing, neither angels, nor devils, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come that will ever separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? If you can't separate me from the love of God, you can't separate me from trusting God. And if you can't separate me from trusting God, you can't separate me from standing in faith. Can you say amen? And as long as I stand in faith, he will turn every test to a testimony. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's what he did in the life of Paul. Beaten five times, amen, with the cat of nine tails. Given three times, beaten with rods. Shipwrecked in the deep, in famine, in hunger, in peril of his life, stoned and left for dead. And he said, these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a far greater eternal weight and glory. There's nothing that shall separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Faith was hinged upon, amen, that relationship of love with God. He said, this is happening to me, but it doesn't say that God doesn't love me. He still loves me no matter what. And because he does, and I can rest and rely on that love, amen, there's nothing that is going to stop me or turn me or make me question it. Nothing can separate me from what? The one thing that is greater than faith in Scripture. The love of God. Follow after faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greater of these is what? It's love. You can try to build your faith all day long. There are certain trials can break it down unless you're rooted and grounded in love. The foundation for your faith is the love of God. Say it with me. The foundation for my faith is the love of God. Amen. The catalyst for my faith, say it with me, the catalyst for my faith, that stimulates it, causes me to release it, is the Word of God. When it said faith cometh, it means it comes forth. It doesn't mean it arrives through the Word of God. Amen. To every man. To every man on the planet, so you could believe and be saved, so there would be no excuse for not believing the gospel. To every man is given the measure of faith. How much is that measure? Enough to believe on him whom God has sent. That's why no matter how intellectual the argument is that is put up, or how vehemently and even violently sometimes people argue against the presentation of the faith, I know that inside of them there is the faith to believe. I don't care how steeped in idolatry, how steeped in tradition, how steeped in superstition. It doesn't matter to me if it's a voodoo priest down in Haiti. In that voodoo priest is the faith to be saved. Woo! Way before they were born again, the day they were born on this planet, to every man was given what? The measure of faith. Amen. So they could do what? Believe when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why when we preach the gospel, we preach it with confidence. No matter what the intellectual argument, if a man chooses to believe, the faith is in him to believe. No matter how dark the world he's coming from, this light penetrates that darkness. God has put it in man to believe the truth about Jesus Christ. We don't have to win an intellectual argument. Woo! Isn't it good to know that someone may nail you to the wall, intellect to intellect, but they can't nail you into the wall, faith to faith. Amen? Woo! Who reveals the Father? The Son. Who reveals the Son? The Father. All of it is by revelation. Hallelujah. And the faith to believe is within every man. It gives me confidence to preach when it looks like there's no point in it. No one's going to hear. No one's going to listen. Amen. I used to park my car purposely. I tried every day. I had a bumper sticker. I forget what it said. But anyway, I parked my car that said, and this guy was, really wore black all the time, you know. I mean, he was a gothic guy. You know, he went to rave clubs, I guess, or whatever. He's into the satanic stuff and a little bit of that. And he, you know, but he was a nice guy. You know, at work, he's real nice and mannerly, but he was clear where he stood, you know, because there's a bumper sticker on the back of his car that said, Lord, and deliver me from your children. He didn't want no Christian bugging him. He didn't want nobody contradicting him, counteracting his lifestyle. And I don't know where he got the bumper sticker. Remember when we were at the place where we used to worship at the embassy suite, and they had this kind of, a tattoo convention? Tattoo convention. And it brought out everybody. I mean everybody. Boy, you talk about everybody wanting to get inked. All that stuff was down there. And I thought, how dare they? And music was blaring and all kinds of weirdos were walking around. Not you know, there's people with little tattoos, not necessarily weirdo. But there were weirdos. And we saw some weirdos. And I thought, boy, they should never, get upset when they see somebody shouting through the door saying, hallelujah. And they say, oh, what a weirdo. And then they let this whole entourage of people come in with, you know, all this weird stuff. And there's where you get the bumper stickers that are anti-Christian and anti-light. Amen. Where the darkness revels in the darkness. And that world looks so untouchable and unteachable. But I'm telling you, in the heart of the Satanist is the faith to believe. In the heart, amen, of the harlot is the faith to believe. In the heart of the pusher and the pimp is the faith to believe. In the heart of the Buddhist is the faith to believe on Christ. In the heart of the Muslim, believe it or not, is the faith to believe on Christ. To every man was given the measure of faith. And when you heard the gospel and willed to believe, that faith kicked in so you could believe. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. And all hell's minions couldn't stop you from coming to Christ. Cleansed and set apart for a holy purpose. And listen, before we think about our ministry, we need to think about our fellowship relationship with God. The highest purpose of your life and the highest calling is not what you do for Him, but your relationship with Him. Establish that first and then go preach. Establish that and then go prophesy. Get that established and then go witnessing. Amen. And you won't burn out and you won't give out. It's when I was too busy ministering, amen, to people to minister to the Lord. See, when you minister to the Lord, listen what happens. Because when I burned out, I asked Him why. And when He began over the years to let me see why. Because I said, I'm a Christian. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a power preacher. I don't preach from just outlines. I preach from the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. I'm Superman. Why am I having to dodge this from the devil? Why am I suddenly on the defensive? Why am I facing these problems? And it all boiled down to not continuing to develop the intimacy with Him. Amen. Isn't it great when power comes all over you in a meeting? The anointing is evident and you sense the power of God. Let me tell you something. The power of God won't keep you from no nervous breakdown. You need a person you can lean on, a person you can trust in, a person who actually becomes your peace. Hallelujah. People don't know it. Amen. But going through this has opened my eyes to the need for a personal relationship with Christ. I do not come here just asking God, anoint me with power to preach. But Lord, let me experience you. But somewhere between, I don't just study at home. I want something to happen to allow me to experience Him in my heart. So that when I preach out of a personal relationship with Him that is ongoing and growing in my life. I love to shut my eyes and just worship Him. Amen. I love Him with all of my heart. I need His affirmation. I need His strength and protecting love. Everybody say His strength and protected love. So 2 Corinthians 6 is about sanctification and it's about holiness. It says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Literally, Belial here is with the devil. The devil himself. In other words, the scripture goes on to say you can't eat at the table of Christ and eat at the table of demons. You can't touch the things that are inspired by the devil and still have a relationship with the Lord that is one of communion and mutual satisfaction. You can't be the best of two worlds. You've got to make choices in life. And he said, in what agreement hath the temple of God, and what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, all of this is about God wanting to be your heavenly Father. All of this is about compassing your life with strength and protecting love. Wherefore, in light of what? What God said, just come out. So you, no, because God said, listen, here's what I want. This is the relationship I want. I want to dwell in you. I want to walk in you. Perambulate. I want to be able to move freely through your life. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's God walking in you. Can you say amen? And I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. How is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? He said, if any man love me and keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to him and we will make our abode with him. Amen. We come to dwell, to indwell, to live. Amen. Not to show up. When you feel God on your skin, it doesn't mean he just arrived. When you sense the glory come down, it doesn't mean it just fell. We describe it that way. But the glory attends His presence. And His presence doesn't enter a room. His presence indwells people. Woo! Your body is the temple. What happens in the temple? The glory shines forth in the temple. Can you say amen? But we get so bombed out with life and so busy with life and so impacted by life in the flesh and the material world that we don't get in touch. But every now and then, amen, it feels like that heaven opens up and the glory comes down. Did heaven open up? Did the glory come down? No, the glory didn't come down out of heaven. The glory comes from His presence. Where is His presence? He said, I want to indwell you. Your body is the That means at 2 p.m. in the afternoon on Tuesday, wherever you are, the same presence is indwelling you is at 11 a.m. when you're in church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You're just conscious of it, becoming conscious. I hope you become conscious of it before you leave. Doesn't it feel good when you become conscious of Him?
Amen.
Well, I want you to know when you become aware of Him, He didn't just show up. When you walk out the door, the same God you became conscious of goes out there with you. Wants to go through life with you. Not only will I indwell them, but I will absolutely perambulate. I will walk in them. I'll live in them. We live in Him. He lives in us. And I'll be their God, personal. You can claim your relationship with Him. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That's not exclusively for the preacher. The prophet part, maybe. But the anointed is every one of us because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Woo! Isn't it good to feel strength and protecting love? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, so that I can what? Manifest myself to you in this personal way. Amen. Don't blend and don't bend. Be different and celebrate your difference. Don't be holier than thou, and don't speak condescendingly to no one or disrespectfully, but make it clear where you stand on every issue. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Christ. And say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. I want young men to look at me as a father figure at work. And I want them to follow me as I follow Christ. I want them to see strength. Amen. And in a different way than they've seen it. Not in the strength of a bicep and the strength of a tattoo and the strength of that makes you feel big shot because of swelling, great swelling words, curse words and whatever. I want them to see the strength to stand by your convictions, to live by what you believe. Can you say amen? I want a young man that's going to choose his road in life to say, that man right there has peace. That man has confidence. That man doesn't have, amen, to have everybody love him, embrace him. The world doesn't have to approve him. That man marches to his own drummer, praise God. He's his own man because he bows to one God. Hallelujah. Woo! If I can have that influence, it starts a lot with becoming a father figure and then a preacher. Not just a preacher. Are you hearing me? If I want someone to emulate me, I want them to see something in me that makes them say, I like what I see. And you know what does that? Peace, joy, love, confidence in your life and confidence in the future, confidence to die in Christ. Hallelujah. I love the story, true story that comes out of World War II, where on a destroyer there was three chaplains. It was a huge boat. They had three chaplains on that destroyer. Amen. And when it was broken by a bomb and the front part had already sank and the back part was listing and getting ready to go under, there were men that could not swim in the water crying for help. And the three looked at one another and they said these words. They said, we are ready to meet God. And we don't know if they're ready to meet God or not. So they took off their vest, life vest, and they threw it to the men crying for help in the water. They went down with the ship and went to their Heavenly Father in order to preserve a life of someone and give them the opportunity to come to know Him. And honey, I don't know if they got military chaplains like that anymore, but I know one thing for sure. Amen. That's what the faith is all about. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Nobody but Christians can die like that. Most people are going to hold on with everything they have to that that preserves their life. These men said, we'll lay down our life that someone else might have life eternal. Same thing happened to a man in the water. A chaplain in the water. There was a young man and he said, I went under and I was sure that I was going to die. And this was during the war, the same war. He said, I was sure that I was going to die. He said, and I came up to the surface and gasped for air that I believed because my strength was waning and it was gone. I couldn't stay afloat any longer. And I took a breath and I thought, this will be my last breath. And there was a man cried out, son, take this. And he was undoing his life jacket. And he took it and he hurled it to him. And as he drifted away from him into the darkness of the deep, he said, call on Jesus, son. Call on Jesus, son. That's Christianity. I've seen the pompous. I've seen the strident and the proud. Amen. I've seen people parading. Amen. Their stuff before people. Amen. And it doesn't make me feel a father's strength and protecting love. It makes me feel like someone is standing aloof and speaking in a condescending way to me and almost chiding me for not driving a Mercedes. Can you say amen? Honey, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that is representative of the kingdom that Jesus came to show us. Do you feel warmed? Do you feel loved and embraced? Can you say amen? Do you feel arms wanting to take you and hold you and lift you up? Oh, that's what I want to, that's what I feel from my Father. And that's what I feel from people that He's walking in. I feel the same feeling when I get around people He's perambulating in. Because if God can flow through you to somebody, He's going to embrace them. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? God flows through me to you, you'll feel embraced this morning. Not just enlightened. There's a difference. Jesus didn't just teach. He loved like nobody else ever loved. Put kids on His knees, said, suffer them, come to me. Let them come. Put His hand upon them and bless them. Kids loved Christ. Woo! Isn't that good? Everybody say it with me. Kids love Jesus. I love the story of the little girl that was in the emergency room for some procedure. And the nurse wanted to get her heart rate. And so she was being kind and considerate. The girl was very scared. She'd cut herself and she wanted to make sure she wasn't about to go into shock while they got ready for the stitches. And she said, honey, says, now I'm going to listen to your heart. Said, here I come. I want to listen. I want to see if Barney's in there. And the little girl looked up, good little Sunday school girl, about 5 years old. And she said, Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear. I like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the way it ought to be. Amen. Amen. Jesus ought to be in our heart. Our anointing ought to be somewhere else. But listen, it's Jesus in the heart. It's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Here's sanctification. Here's holiness. And touch not the unclean thing. And listen, I will receive you and will be a father to you. And will be a father to you. Started out with our God. Amen. But now He's saying, I will express myself as your God in a personal, paternal way. I will be a father. Not just the great God of glory, but the good God of your heart. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord. Jesus said, if any of you ask your father for a fish, would he give you a stone? If you ask for bread, would he give you a serpent? If you fathers, being evil innately, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father? Faith rests in the love of the heavenly Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give good things to them that ask Him. Heretofore you've asked nothing in my name. Ask that you might receive, that your joy might be full. I do not say that I shall pray for you, for the Father himself loveth you. When you pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But start by affirming and proclaiming that He's not just your God or your Savior. He's your Father. Can you say amen? And He encompasses your life with strength and protecting love. I go to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. They got so in love with the Father, they said, Lord, show us the Father. Everybody was on this quest to know the God of the Old Testament. Now they saw that this God was indeed a personal, amen, God who wanted to father His children. And they said, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. We won't be happy until we see the Father. And then Jesus said these classic words. Have you been with me this long and you haven't seen the Father yet? When you've seen me, truly seen me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Amen. Glory to God. You start your prayer with acknowledgement that you have a Father in heaven. who loves you deeply, who protects you, provides for you. You pray in confidence because you have a Father. And what a Father you got. Woo, what a Father you got. I can't stop bullies. He can. Amen. I can't stop a cancer raging in my child, but he can stop a cancer raging in his. Hallelujah. I believe divine healing, amen, is going to be back in the forefront because we're going to begin to understand that we have a Father in heaven. And if I'm a dad and I know how to do good things for my kids, I got a dad in heaven that knows how to do things for his. What he's saying is, what would you do for your children in your capacity to love? Amen. If you had the power, what would you do for your kids? Amen. Well, he said, I want you to see me in the same light. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be less of a father to my kids than you are to your children. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe we're going to believe him for great things. I believe his name is going to be glorified when he does it. Hallelujah. I believe the world is going to know that we don't just have a God, an Allah. Amen. We have a Father, a Papa. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Abba! 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 Every time we cry that in faith, the Holy Spirit bears witness of its truth. For as many, Romans 8:14-16 said, before as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. You see, all of this liberty, all of this freedom is based on this relationship we now have with God. Through Christ, you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are indeed the children of God. The Amplified said, for the Spirit which you've now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word Abba is used by Jewish children today. It's an Aramaic word equivalent to daddy in the English language. To call the God of the universe this name would seem sacrilege. The only one who could ever use it legitimately was Christ. And he only used it when he needed God's strength and protecting love to wrap him up. When as a man going to take our place on the cross in Gethsemane, he said his soul was sorrowful unto death. And here's how he prayed. Father, I trust you. I'm standing upon your word. Showing his strength. No, he showed his dependency and his trust. Here's how he prayed. Would you like to hear it? It's the only time. But he was the only one who could ever use this word. It said that he said, Abba, Father. If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my. But he prefaced his prayer by putting his trust in the strength and protecting love of his Father. Abba. Abba means intimacy. Say it with me. Abba means intimacy. It's not just the theological understanding that he's a father of the universe. No, it's an intimate relationship with a personal God who loves you and embraces you. Jesus said, Abba, Father. And what was blowing Paul away, and it's supposed to blow us away, is that we could speak of him in the same language of love and intimacy. Woo! That Robert A. Venable could say, when I hurt and when I have need, Abba, Father. And in doing so, acknowledge my relationship with him is a father-son, father-child relationship. Not just king-subject. Can you say amen? And when he holds me, woo, when he holds me, the Lord is my shepherd. I feel, listen, if you ever see a picture of the depicted of Jesus as the good shepherd, you ever see what's around his shoulders? It's not a mink. It's not a, what's around his shoulder? What's he got around his shoulder? That's me. Dale said, no, it's not, it's me. We're going to have a church fight right now. Sean said, it's me. It's me. It's all of us. Thou shalt be borne upon eagle's wings means the strength of another is bearing you up. They that wait upon the Lord, that minister unto the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They open the door for this relationship. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My strength in ministry doesn't come from the anointing on me, but the presence of the Father within me and the Son within me. His embrace. He carries me. And I love it. So don't you want to learn to just get out there and go out on your own in faith and show Him your great faith? No. 1,000 times no. I want to learn how to become more dependent on Him. When we bow to no other God but to Christ and to Christ alone, we can claim every promise of the covenant. So it's not just a faith issue. It's an obedience issue. It's a values issue. It's a faithfulness issue. We need to settle it in our hearts so we may truly say, our God, even our God shall bless us. Can you say amen? The word Abba is used by Jewish children today. Our only English equivalent would be daddy. You will see little children in Israel today running up with their hands held high, asking Abba to pick them up and place them on his shoulders. A show of tender affection. Can we say that this is our relationship with the Father? What I see in most Christians, this writer said, is to include those in leadership. To include those in leadership is that we have the Father thing down. We have the respect, but it causes us to be aloof to a more intimate relationship with Him. He wants more than just the reverence and respect. He wants us to love Him. The spirit of bondage says you still belong to the devil. That because you're not 100% perfect, you can never be truly free or acceptable. The spirit of adoption declares that you've been accepted in the Beloved and are free from the law of sin and death. Not just forgiven, but brought into God's own family as His sons and daughters. An intimate, personal, family relationship is your privilege in God's design. Isn't that incredible? A little boy came running down the corridor toward the private chambers of a great monarch. A new palace guard caught up to him, grabbing his arm and scolding him, said, "You cannot intrude upon the king." To which the lad responded, "He's my father." And being loosed, he burst through the door and bounded into the embrace of his father's arms. There's a daughter, she was little when President Carter went into the White House and said no matter who he was talking to in the Oval Office, sometimes she would, it didn't matter what it was. I mean, it said to him it did not matter. When she came running down the hall and ran in, he took her on his knee. He told her he loved her. If he couldn't talk to her right then, he would tell her, "I'll see you in just a little while," and send her on her way. But he never refused her entrance to the Oval Office. Because that was his daughter. Wow. Isn't that incredible? Their dad's too busy to have that kind of accessibility. I tell you, you've got a Father in heaven that's not too busy. His eyes are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. Can you say, man? He'll never be too busy for you. Never be too busy for me. Isn't that good to know? Hallelujah. I love this daddy stuff. And people need it. People need it. People need it. As we close, I remember we used to go down in the evening after everybody almost had left the pool. There was a pool where we lived in a mobile home park years ago. And there was a family that their son played with my son a lot. He came to play with Matthew. And they were little at that time. They were both little, maybe 10, somewhere along there, around 10 years of age. And his dad had left, and his mother, and I don't know who was to blame. The fact is, it was a fractured family like so many have become. And he was with his mother. She worked all the time to take care of him and his big brother. But he longed for that missing element in the family, and that was dad. Something about having the dad. Nintendo isn't enough without dad. Did you know and I don't have the statistics with me, but in the jail systems, a lot of the criminals, an overwhelming percentage of the criminals behind bars come from a fatherless family where there's an absentee dad. There was no dad to emulate, to imitate, no good dad to follow. There wasn't that strength in protecting love. So the young ladies found it in the arms of some gang member down in L.A., amen, that she didn't find where she should have found it. A young man finds it in the camaraderie of a group of other rowdy young men, but they embraced him. Can you say amen? See, everyone needs that embrace. Everybody needs that embrace. God wants to give it to us so we don't have to seek it through any kind of sin or compromise. Amen? The church ought to be an embracing place where people can come in and immediately feel embraced. There's a man that, I can say this without designating. There's a man that some of the other men said was homosexual. And some of the men were angry, and you can see people shunning that person. It made me want to go out of my way to be kind and nice. Not because I approve of the lifestyle, but I believe that the faith to be saved, to be transformed, to be changed is inside of every person. Somehow we've got to find how, amen, to reach those people. We never reach them by just pointing the finger at them. We don't reach them either by compromising or condoning something that is sinful and wrong. Amen. We've got to stand up when asked and stand up sometimes and declare this is not correct. It is a sin in the eyes of God. But there is a wonderful news for the sinner, me and anyone else. And that is that God forgives sin. And he doesn't just forgive sin. He changes lives. He can change affections. We were on radio in South Carolina, and a woman wrote us a letter and said, I wanted to come to Christ, but I was lesbian. Now the church is making an accommodation that you can come to Christ and not be changed and hang on to that is said to be sin. Amen. You can come to him with any kind of lifestyle and be embraced. That's not the love, amen, that God, the love of God is genuine. It's gonna challenge us to change, but it's gonna give us the strength to change simultaneously, the grace to change. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. She said, this was a giant in my life. I wasn't even preaching about homosexuality or heterosexuality or sin like that. I was preaching about anything in your life. David slaying a giant. Something that's kind of Sunday school level until you really look at it. And it goes way beyond just a little Sunday school story. Can you say amen? She said, I listened to that message and faith came up in my heart. See, the faith was already there. The word of God brought it forth. Faith cometh. Cometh. It doesn't arrive. It cometh. It arrived the day you were born because to every man was given the measure of faith. So no one can say, I would have went to heaven, but I could not believe the gospel. If you don't go to heaven, it's because you would not believe the gospel. God knows the faith is in you to believe it because he put it there. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Woo! Free if you want to be. She said, this was the giant in my life. And preacher, I heard a message on slaying your giants. And I cried out to God, and this giant fell. And God saved me, and God changed me. I knew I couldn't change myself, but God changed me. Honey, God didn't make you any way that's not according to his plan in Scripture. God made me this way is not the reason you're the way you are. You live in a fallen world, and sin has tainted and touched all of us, some in some ways and some in other ways. Amen. Jesus didn't come, amen, to tell us it's all right to be in Satan's grip. He came to give us hope and to give us freedom. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him to set the captive what? Free! And to set at liberty those that are bound and bruised by sin, to bring the prisoners out of the prison house. Woo! The good news is the faith is in everybody to receive it. Wow. So don't let the devil tell you you have no faith. You're just not using the faith you got. If you use it, it'll work. Hallelujah. It always does. God is so good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm not going to finish this. Will you stand to your feet? We used to go swimming when everybody else was gone. I didn't want no one to ever see me in my... You know, just my bare chest, knobby knees, and think about that while I'm preaching. And that's all they'd be thinking about, believe me, is my knobby knees. So we'd go down and get in the water, me and Pamela and Matthew and what was his little name? Brian. Little chunky guy. Wow. Little bright blue eyes, broken heart. Bright blue eyes and a broken little heart. We were sitting there, you know, in the water. Everybody else is gone. And me, Pamela. And then on one side was Matthew. And on the other side was Brian. And I always just treated Brian, you know, just, how you doing, son? When it's time, I'll know it, and they'll know it like Paul knew it. And they'll get a longing for heaven and won't even want to stay no more. Hallelujah. Ditter's heart stops and stops and starts and murmurs and grumbles and carries on and jumps. And she gets weak and she sat here and we thought, dear Lord, she could fall over in the seat. Amen. But there she is with a smile on her face. Hallelujah. Because you have a Father which is in heaven and He loves you. Praise God. And He embraces you and has embraced you. Amen. Listen, if you were in a dead church, you'd have been a dead girl. Can you say amen? But you're not in a dead church. It may be little, but it's alive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. It's little, but it's alive. Hallelujah. And I'd rather be in a little church that's alive. One thing's for sure, if it wasn't for the life of God here, there's nothing to hold our attention. We don't have a grand production to replace the anointing. We're just dependent on the anointing. The anointing don't come, we're in a heap of trouble. But the anointing comes and comes and comes and comes and comes and comes again. I feel like I'm preaching to a multitude. And before it's over, it may go to the multitudes. It may go to more nations. God is God. And I don't know how He does it, but He does it. Hallelujah. Would you join hands? We will try to close again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we bless You this day. We thank You, Lord, when it would be so easily, we could be so easily discouraged to look forward in faith, to thank You for what we have and where You want to take us, Lord. Father, it's very clear to us that Lord, we're not to try to gather up folks from the past that are already saved. We're to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. Now, Lord, we are in the dark concerning how to do this, Lord, but You know exactly how You want to get it done. Father, it is our heart to preach the gospel to the regions beyond. Tampa is well covered with the gospel. There's mega churches here proclaiming Christ this morning. Father, we want to preach to the regions beyond, not just to the nations of the world, but beyond where those ministries are reaching, to those areas, Father, where there haven't been a penetration of light into the darkness. Father, we don't know how You're going to send this ministry. We don't know if it's going to be on the airwaves again. We don't know if it's going to be televised. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know if the website is going to just come alive until we have to get a duplicator that can duplicate hundreds of discs. We don't know how You're going to do it, but we know, Father, that we have the call, we have the vision, we have the anointing, we have qualified people here to help us get it done right now, hallelujah, that will do the work and do the job. And we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that we will recognize the doors that You open, Father, and that we will, in bold faith, walk through those doors, confident that we have a Father in heaven that is with us, confirming His word with signs following. We give You the praise for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Shake somebody's hand and hug their neck and tell them Jesus is King before you leave this room. Hallelujah.